Would you turn in your Bible with me again to Psalm 63? Psalm 63, verses 1 through 3. This is what it says in the New King James Version. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. This is the word of God. Amen. I just want to, this morning, the entire psalm was read to you earlier in this worship experience. I want to lift for our consideration this morning some observations on verses 1 through 3. And I want to tag this text, A Song of Confidence. This is David's song of confidence. This is a psalm that was written by David at the time in his life when he was under intense pressure as he fled from Absalom, who, as you know, was David's son who rebelled against him and took over the kingdom by military force. He forced David to leave town in a hurry in order to avoid assassination. David, having been driven away from all the splendor of palace life, he's writing this song as he makes his way through the wilderness of Judea. He's accompanied by a few of his loyal subjects who would have most certainly been executed had they stayed in Jerusalem. So here David is in the text. A man whom God declared to be a man after his own heart. David, the champion of Israel, the anointed by God. David, one who have received all the blessings of position and possession, of popularity and promise. Now here he finds himself suddenly and without warning in a state of extreme distress, because that's how life is. There is a vast wilderness between Egypt and the promised land. But instead of writing a blues song, David wrote a love song. Not a blues song. I'm not talking about form or structure. I'm talking about lyrical content. David wasn't crying about what he had lost, or about how bad his family had treated him, or about being alone and in despair. Rather, in this song, David acknowledged that God is still God. His situation has changed, but God is still his God. Life looked unfair at the moment, but God is still just and righteous in all of his ways. He's on the run for his life, but he acknowledges that God is still his protector. He has lost all of his possessions except the clothing that he was wearing, but he is still confident that God is God. Amen. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Things look bad, but he knows that God is still good all the time. Listen to the opening words of David's song. God, you are my God. Those are the words of a person who has genuine relationship with the living God. You get that kind of confidence in God when you live a lifestyle of gratitude. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Here, David is acknowledging that God is God. And notice in your text, God is a capital G. In the Hebrew, it's Elohim, that first word, Elohim, which means it's really plural, and it refers to God the Creator, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. But then the second word for God is El, which refers to the God who had revealed himself to Moses. He's saying, Elohim, God who created the heavens and the earth, I know that you are God because you are God that have made yourself known to me. You are that I am that I am. He's referring here to the God who has revealed himself to Moses. I am that I am. God who has also revealed himself to David over the course of his lifetime. The God who anointed him while he was shepherding Jesse's, his father's flock. This is the God who had given him victory in battle. He's acknowledging the God who had protected him and provided for him while he was eluding Saul's murderous threats and he was hiding in caves. This is the God who had forgiven his acts of adultery and murder. This is the God that he penned about in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And now here, in Psalm 63, while in the wilderness of Judea, David confidently proclaims, God, you are my God. Some of y'all know God like that, don't you? He's tried, he's tested, and he's true. You know that God is God. And you know that from a lifelong experience with God, because God has never failed you. When you say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, while others may just be quoting a cliche, for you, that has been your experience. Have I got a witness? You've got a testimony that God has brought you through many dangers, toils, and snares. That you have been through some storms in your life, and you've discovered that God has been with you all the way. You've been through severe challenges, haven't you? Some of y'all have been sick. Some of you have experienced shortages. Some of you have experienced separation. But God has kept you. And like David in the psalm, you have never lost confidence in God. So whatever your situation, you are able to say, God, you are my God. Amen. Can't tell me about my God. He is my God. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You haven't been where I have been. You have not seen what I have seen. You have not felt what I felt. And God has not delivered you exactly the way he has delivered me. And so whatever the situation, I can look up and say, God, you are my God. Amen. This statement of confidence, this is a statement of faith. And it lays the groundwork for the next movement in the text. He says, God, you are my God. And then early will I seek thee. Early will I seek thee. This doesn't suggest that God is hiding and you have to find him. No, that's not what David is saying. The word early here makes reference to the time of day. It points to the dawn. David is saying that he prioritizes pursuing relationship with God. In other words, the dawn of every new day finds David in prayer. Prayer is our direct line to God. And I don't know about you, but I want to hear from God first. Amen. That's why when I open my eyes in the morning, my first communication it, with the God of my salvation. Amen. Prayer is a direct line. I want to hear from God first. I seek his wisdom. And before I ask advice of anybody else, I want to know what God has to say about a matter. Early will I seek thee. The Bible says to young people, remember the Lord now. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. You ought to seek Him early before you make decisions about career. Give a conversation with God before you decide about who to date or who to marry. You ought to seek wisdom and guidance from God. The same is true about every area of your life. Seek God first. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all that you need will be added to you. In the middle of a wilderness situation, whatever that might mean for you this morning, God has a word for you. Follow David's example in the text. Early will I seek thee. Someone this morning is struggling, and you're not sure what to do next. We are in trying times. Some are passing through, as it were, a wilderness. Let me suggest to you this morning that you don't do anything until you hear from the Lord. Don't get anxious about your situation. Don't get in a hurry. Just wait on the Lord. The Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. David says, early will I seek thee. Amen. You know, I know you got a favorite partner. You got your girlfriend, you got your friend girls, and guys, you got your homies that you opinion. But let me tell you, you need to seek their advice second. Yeah. Right. Amen. Go to God first. Hear from what He has to say. You ought to open His word and see what His word has to say about your situation, because God addresses every area of life. And if your homie's advice or if your friend girl's advice don't line up with the word of God, then you got to go with the word of God. Early, seek what God has to say. Amen. Early, I will seek thee. Not only is this a statement about priority, about seeking God first and getting His perspective on your life's decision, but it also suggests that it's personal. David said, I will seek. I'm going for myself. I will seek thee. It speaks of personal relationship. It's getting to know God better. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in a position where somebody you never met you, approaches you and think that they know you because of what they heard somebody else say about you? Yeah. Have you ever been in that situation? They don't really know you. They may know something about you. And what they think they may know may or may not be true, depending upon the person who told them about you. Yeah. Or you may have a pop artist, a star, a musician, an actor, a rapper, poet, somebody that you follow, that you think you know. You listen to their music, you watch their art, maybe you follow their career, you watch their movies, you gaze upon their paintings, you listen to their lyrics, you read articles about them. You may know about that person. You may know so much, in fact, that you feel like you know the person. And on a certain level, you do. But that's not relationship. That's right. Amen. And there are a lot of us who relate to God that way. We only know about God from what somebody else has told us about God. It might be your parents. It might be your pastor or your church school teacher, or maybe even some ungodly associate. And what they tell you about God is secondhand knowledge, is hearsay. If you want relationship with God, you got to know Him for yourself. You got to know Him for yourself. You may have grown up around godly people. You may have grown up in the church. You might know a lot about God, but you need to know Him personally. So no matter how much you think you, and no matter how much you think you already know about God, regardless of how long you have been walking with God, there is still always fresh revelation about God. So you're continually growing in your relationship with God. If you already know all there is to know about God and about His Word and about prayer, then your God is too small. The God we serve is eternal. He is infinite and He is sovereign. Building relationship with God is deeply personal. Amen. 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 Nothing can take the place of a deep personal relationship with God. Amen. I've known children, young people who've grown up in godly homes where parents taught them to pray and taught them to reverence God and taught them the importance of worship and the importance of giving and the importance of serving. And it was all outside of them, so that when they leave the confines of the parents' home, if it's not ingrained in their spirit, if they have not developed a personal relationship with God, then all that you taught is just plain superficial. You need a deep, personal, abiding relationship with God. That's why David can sustain himself in the wilderness of Judea. Amen. Building relationship with God requires desire and passion. And that's what the next verses are about. The passion of David is expressed in the verses that are selected for our consideration this morning. He says, God, you are my God. I will seek you, but my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in worship, in the sanctuary, in my life, and I have seen your power, and I have seen your glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. And because of your loving kindness for me, because of the revelation of your love in my life, I've discovered that your loving kindness is better than life itself. And for that reason, my lips shall offer you praise. Nobody has to make me praise you. Nobody has to make me worship you. Nobody has to call me in the morning and remind me to go to worship, because your love for me, because your revelation to me is more precious than loving kindness, is better than life itself. My lips shall praise you. This is a soul compassion. This is a soul passion. This is the passionate soul that seeks refreshment and find what it needs only in God. Amen. My brothers and sisters, we were created in the image and after the likeness of God. We have in us a longing for that which only God can give. You sleepless, you can't find satisfaction in your life. You can't find the relationship that you're looking for. Your soul is thirsting for something. My brothers and sisters, that something cannot be found in the world. It can only be found in God. You are created for a relationship with God. And until you're hooked up with the divine through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in the hearts of believers, you will never find satisfaction. Thirsty is the passionate soul that seeks for God. God gave David success in this text. He gave David his life achievement. But in this text, we also can see that success and possession and position and life achievement can be gone in a flash, in a heartbeat. Then what? Having an ongoing intimate relationship with the living God through the presence of the Holy Spirit, He prepares you to handle all of life's ups and downs. You know how to be on top, but you also know how to live in the valley. You know how to celebrate your successes, but you also know how to give God praise when you fail. It reminds me of the woman at the well in the Gospel according to John. She was at Jacob's well in the heat of the day looking for satisfaction. She was looking for needs to meet her physical need, for something to meet her physical need. But then she met Jesus, who was there, and Jesus offered her what? Living water that springs up into everlasting life. That's what you need. That's what you need. If you've got living water that's springing up into everlasting life, then you can learn how to be content where you are while you plan for your future. Living water. Yes, the springs of water always symbolizes the Holy Spirit. See, and for the believer, for you and I, it is the Spirit in us who creates our passion for God. He creates the passion for us to get God, know God more intimately. For some people, God is just a simple concept. For some people, they might believe that there is a God. They might even talk about him and sing about him. And there are some people who pray to him and have expectations of him. But that's as far as it goes. That should not be the case for you and I. There are some people who have respect for God, but they have no passion for relationship. They don't give. They don't realize that it is God who has what God has done for them in Christ. They don't realize that God has begun his kingdom. And when he raised Jesus from the dead, he included you in that kingdom. They don't know that they have the opportunity to become a new creation in Christ and to participate with God in advancing his kingdom on earth. Because without the presence of God's Spirit, they have no real passion for relationship with God. They don't know that the power of God, the presence of God in their lives can break the passions of evil, that can break the bonds that hold them to sin. They don't know that God's presence in them is able to transform their thinking and to change the course of their lives and give them life and that more abundantly. You can believe right now, my brothers and sisters, that new life from God for you is possible right now. Jesus said you can have it if you ask for it. In Luke 11, he says, it's not a big deal. Just ask and it shall be given. Jesus says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks shall find, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Then he says, if a son asks for bread from his father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will you give him a serpent instead? Or if he asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? And the answer is no. Then Jesus says, if then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to those who ask him? All you have to do is ask. We are saved by grace through faith. It's a gift from God. You don't have to work to earn it. You don't have to work to get it. Just ask for it and God will give it to you. Amen. It's like water. It's like a thirst in my soul. When I discover God in my soul, then my success is sweeter. When I discover God in my soul, then my money goes where I tell it to go rather than it telling me where to go. When I'm successful and my spirit is in God, I still know how to be humble. I still know how to worship. I still know how to praise. And that's how David closes this thing. Look at the verse again. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I've decided to look for you in the sanctuary. Thank God for worship. To see your power. Thank God for revelation. To see your glory. Thank God for Jesus. Because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. The psalm begins and ends with the psalmist's priority. A priority to pray, to begin, and a priority to worship as it ends. My brothers and sisters, in worship, God reveals more of himself. That's why you need to be in worship. If you're a child of God, you can't stay away from worship.
in worship, we are reminded of the love and power of God. We need to be reminded, my brothers and sisters, that we are made in His image, that God cares about us, and that God has a plan for our future. Thank God for worship. Thank God for Him and how He moves in those who worship in spirit and in truth. Every time I leave worship, I leave a new person. When I leave worship, I leave more confident. When I leave worship, I leave encouraged. Thank God for worship. I thank God for Him who is revealed to me in the worship experience. Thank God for what He's done for me. Thank God for keeping His promise to me. Thank God for saving my life. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Will you praise the Lord with me? Nobody has to force us to praise God. Nobody has to encourage us to praise God. We just praise God because He's worthy to be praised. We praise God for the blessings He has poured out upon us. Praise God for His goodness. I praise God for His kindness. I praise God for His grace. I praise God for His compassion. I praise God for His forgiveness. Is there anybody who want to give praises to God? Praise God for His love. I praise God for His mercy. I praise God for His salvation. I praise God for His provision. I praise God for His protection. I praise God for His presence. Because if it had not been for the Lord on our side, we would not be here today. And so I will praise the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will serve the Lord. I will declare His name, because there's no other name given among men whereby we can be saved except the name of Jesus. Ain't He all right? Ain't God good? Why don't you praise God with me? A song of confidence. A song of confidence. Y'all need to stop singing the blues. Stop singing the blues. Sing songs of confidence, because God is able. Won't you give Him some praise?